This morning, we're going to do something a little bit different for the next 2 weeks. We're going to take a little bit of time just to probably go over some things that are pretty basic to most of you, but we want to make sure that we don't miss this, okay? So we're going to talk about two of the main priorities that we have here at Puyallup Community Baptist Church. The first one this morning we're going to talk about is the priority of Scripture, the priority of the Word of God. Next week, we're going to be talking about the priority of prayer. The reason for that is twofold. Number one, we got a lot of new people around. Those of you who have been away, maybe you've been gone since COVID, and you come back and you go, man, I don't know half the people here. Congratulations, I still don't either. So welcome to the club. The other reason is it's so easy to forget the things that ought to be really important. It's so easy to forget why we do what we do. So we're just going to go back to the basics. You know, you've heard the old football analogy. This is a football. You got to go back to that every once in a while, a football team. Well, we got to go back to that here at PCBC. And today, we're going to be talking about the Word of God. Some of you, maybe you're new here this morning. Maybe you've come over the last couple of weeks. You go, man, why do you guys spend so much time talking about the Bible? I mean, there's a lot more entertaining things to do. Guess what? There probably are. I was really encouraged. There's a young kid up here. What's his name again? What's your name? Henry. Henry, how old are you? 6 years old. Sitting in here this morning because his parents said he wanted to hear the Word of God. That's what it's about. That's what we are about, and congratulations, you're on the right track, buddy. Don't ever leave that. We are going to be talking about the Word of God this morning, and some of you guys, again, may wonder why we do that. You may think it's because pastors like to talk a lot. If you know me well, that's not me, okay? I'd rather sit and listen. But the reason we're talking about the Word of God is because Scripture tells us that God says we need to hear the Word of God. And you can do that from right here. You can hear that, the Word of God here. You can hear it during the morning classes in Sunday school. You can hear it on your own as well as you spend time in the Word of God. So God told us that we need to spend time listening to the Word of God. And so here's the deal. That's why we at Puyallup Community Baptist Church believe that the faithful preaching and teaching of the Word of God, as well as the reading of the Word of God throughout the week, is one of our top priorities. The problem is, if we don't get that right, everything else about church, everything else about our lives gets all kinds of weird places. If that's not top priority, the Word of God, we get like sidetracked with all kinds of things that don't have anything to do with God. But if that is correct, all the rest of life is going to begin to make sense. So we're not gathering this morning to make us feel good. We're not gathering this morning to create a name for ourselves. We are gathering because of Him. We're gathering because He has something to say to us. And so the passage that we're going to look at this morning, 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we're going to begin in verse 14, is probably a passage that's pretty familiar to you if you've been in church for a while. We're going to take a look at that, and we're going to look at at least three reasons that the Bible must be a priority in our lives. The first reason, from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. You're familiar with this verse. It says, how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable. All right? The first reason is the Bible shapes the people of God. The Bible shapes the people of God. Communities get together for all kinds of reasons. People get together for all kinds of things. Some of the reasons might be you guys share a sports group together. And so you get together and you either play sports together or you talk sports together. You might have hobbies that you have. You might have jobs that you have in common. You might have things that are that you're struggling with that you have in common. But we get together for all kinds of reasons, for all kinds of purposes. There are similarities. The reason the people of God get together is because of this reason, because of the Word of God. We are shaped by the Word of God. And so the community of God, the people of God, the church, gathers to hear what He says. Now, if you've been involved in discipleship groups and you've done any of the lessons online, whether you've done a few or a lot of them, you've probably run across quite a few lessons that have to do with these verses, 2 Timothy chapter 3. Again, most of us know it pretty well. But Paul tells us here, all Scripture is breathed out by God. Scripture, the Word of God, is completely reliable. When we read the Word of God, we can trust it because it's given by God. We don't get to pick and choose what we believe. I was talking with somebody even this morning about that, saying, you know, if there's part of the Word of God that we don't take literally and we say, I'm not real sure I buy into that, where do you stop? You start here and then you go, well, I'm not sure I can buy this and I'm not sure I don't like this, so I'm not going to buy into that. All Scripture is completely reliable and we don't get to pick and choose. All of it is breathed out by God. And God does not breathe out lies. So that's why here at Puyallup Community Baptist Church, we want God's Word to be the final authority in everything that we do. We want Him to be able to tell us from His Word, here's how I want you to live your life. Here's how I want you to conduct yourselves in the household of God. Here's how I want you to do things. So in these verses, Paul tells us, and he's telling Timothy in particular, here are some things that shape the people of God through the Word of God. Number one, through God's Word, He is able to save us. It says in verse 15, go back there again, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Now, the interesting thing that I find here is Paul is talking to Timothy and he's recounted to him, you know, you've learned it from your parents, especially your mother, and he talks about the Scriptures. He's not necessarily talking about the New Testament. Now, I believe it can apply to that, but he's talking about the Hebrew Testament, the Old Testament, the Testament that tells a lot of the stories that you and I probably don't go back to a whole lot because we like the New Testament. Why do we like the New Testament? Because it tells us real specific things about what to do and how to do them. Old Testament, it just kind of seems like history, doesn't it? But he tells Timothy, Old Testament was put there so that it can make us wise unto salvation. It's put there to lead us to Christ. It is the way that we know who Jesus is, what He's done, how He saves, and it's only found in the Word of God. I hear people from time to time say, you know, I love to go out and I meet with God up in the mountains. That's great that you meet with God up in the mountains, but you're never going to go up into the mountains and see anywhere, anything, unless you carry your copy of the Word of God up there about Jesus. You're going to see a lot of things that will lead you to think about God. You'll think about His greatness. You'll think about His creativity. You'll think about maybe even the personal nature of God. But you will never hear about Jesus up on the mountain unless you take the Word of God. And so I find it interesting that as Paul is talking to Timothy and he's talking about all Scripture, the Old Testament even is meant to point us to Christ so that we, through faith in Christ Jesus, can have salvation. Do you see that as you read the Old Testament? Again, I know a lot of us, we kind of skip over it. We jump over it to get to the fun stuff. But he says all of it is meant to lead us to Christ. So we don't get to create our own path to salvation. We don't get to decide, you know what, if I just put a little bit of money in the offering, God will accept me. No, that's not what he says. It isn't up to us to be good enough. That's not what he says. He says Scripture is to point us to Christ. Romans 10:17, it says, so faith comes from hearing and hearing through the Word of Christ. It is only through the message of Jesus Christ that we are able to be wise unto salvation. So that's the first thing. Second thing the Word of God does for us is it teaches us. We're going to go through this just a little bit. I'll summarize in a few minutes, but as we talked about this, especially in our discipleship group, we kind of had to put it into a picture. So I'll try and do that here at the end. But verse 16, it says, all Scripture is breathed out by God and it is profitable for teaching. It teaches us about who God is, about what He's doing in our world. It teaches us about ourselves and about how we should live in this world and where we fit into this story. So you want to make sense of the world? You want to make sense of your part in the story? Read the Word of God. Here's the problem. As we begin to read the Word of God, we're not going to like everything that we read. As we understand who He is and what He's doing here on this earth, we're going to go, God, why aren't you doing something different? Why aren't you stopping some of the things that are going on in our world? Why haven't you set the nation of Israel into this position of authority and this position of prominence? Why is it still this little tiny country that everybody's fighting over? Just make it clear. And then as we read about ourselves, God, I'm not really that bad, am I? That's not really me. We're not going to like everything that we read in Scripture. And many people don't like the Word of God because they're not comfortable with what it says about them, and so they choose to ignore what they hear in the Word of God. But it is meant to teach us about God, to teach us about ourselves. And as it teaches us about ourselves and about God, then comes the next step. It says, all Scripture is profitable for teaching and for reproof. It points out what needs to change. As I observe God for who He is, and I get a clear picture of that, I don't make it up for myself. I see God for who He is, and I see myself for who I am. There's going to be some reproving that needs to happen, some convicting that needs to happen. Why is that? Again, because the Bible's pretty clear that every single one of us is prone to do our own thing. Every single one of us has this tendency to ignore what God says and to make our lives about us. And His Word is able to correct us and say, no, that's what needs to change in your life. Every single one of us has this tendency to drift. In my trips to the airport, and again, with a three-hour time change at 7 in the morning, I had to be at the airport. There was a tendency on the road to want to drift, right? Now, I'm thankful for these new cars that have the little beeper when you go outside of your lane, because it keeps you in the lane and it wakes you up. That's kind of what the Word of God does when we tend to drift. All of us tend to have this tendency to drift. And the Word of God warns us when that's happening so that we can avoid disaster, so that we can avoid the mess. It teaches, it reproves, and then it says for correction. His Word corrects us. It's not just an alarm in our hearts to say, hey, Lauren, you're doing bad. I mean, that would be helpful, but it's not real helpful, because I don't really have any knowledge in and of myself to figure out how to get back on track. His Word corrects us. After it teaches us and after it convicts us that we're in the wrong place, it says, hey, here's how to get back on track. It says, literally, to restore to an upright position. Like to get, you get knocked over, it's to set us back up in the right place, to reposition us, to reorient us, to redirect us. It's to get our life back on the right track so that we bring glory to Him. His Word corrects us. And then it says, and for training in righteousness. It doesn't just get us to be able to understand the right things. It doesn't just get us to understand where we need to change. It doesn't just get us to understand, hey, get back on track. But it teaches us how to stay on track. It trains us to live rightly. My daughter had a little go-kart that she bought when she was a kid. Now, don't ask her about that go-kart, because that was, I mean, that thing, it's dangerous going really. That's a fast go-kart. But imagine me teaching her how to ride a go-kart, and I tell her all about, you know, the bars that are above her to keep her from falling out, make sure she fastens her seatbelt. Here's the steering wheel, here's the gas pedal, and I set her off. But I forget to tell her about the brake pedal. Now, even though that go-kart didn't go real fast, that wouldn't end well. And some of the things that we need to have in life aren't just about correcting, but they're about training so that, okay, I know this is wrong. I know I keep going back to this. How do I stay on track? I don't want to just keep getting back and forth and back and forth and wishing something would change. God's Word can correct us, but it can also train us to stay on the right path. His word is able to give us all of the training that we need. So, just to summarize those four things, it teaches us who God is and who we are. Then, not only does it teach us, but it reproves us, it convicts us, it helps us to see the distinction between the two. It corrects us, it helps us to be able to know when we're off path and to get back on path, and it trains us to stay on that path for a long period of time. That's what the Word of God is able to do in our lives. His Word and His Word alone are able to do that. You come to a counselor, they're able to give you some words of helpful advice, but they will never be able to keep you on track. They'll point out the things that are wrong. They'll point out where you should be. But they do not have the power to be able to keep you on track. It is God's word that enables us to do that. How do we know that? Verse 17. So that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. His word equips us for every good work. The purpose of teaching, the purpose of convicting, the purpose of correcting and training is that He has things that He wants you to participate in. He has things that He wants me to participate in. And He wants us to be equipped to be able to do that. While we gather on Sundays to hear the Word of God, the purpose is not just to store up the information in our minds, to be able to put notebooks up on the shelf. It is so that we might be able to participate with Him in the things that He has for us. Again, literally, it means to be fitted out. When we were, a couple years ago, we're just getting to know David's wife, Lydia. And so we decided one of the fun things that we should do is we should go up to Camp Muir. How many of you have been to Camp Muir? Not many. We need to have more people head to Camp Muir. It's like the halfway point to the summit at Mount Rainier, okay? So if you've been to Camp Muir, this will make a little bit more sense. If I put a picture up there, it'll probably make a lot more sense. But our family decided we were all going to go up there together in shorts and in tennis shoes. No poles, no crampons, no, we could do it. No training. That was a long day, let me tell you. We were not equipped. We were not fitted out for the journey to Camp Muir. I mean, we were dying, me in particular, because I thought I had done some training, but not enough, obviously. We were dying probably 20 minutes into the trip. And then you start seeing people coming down with their poles. Why do they have to have poles? We're fine, you know. Why do they have big, heavy jackets on? By the time we got up there, we realized all of that. And then we realized we still have to go all the way back down. And we had to do it in one day. God wants us to be equipped for every good work. He wants us to be fitted out for the job that He has for us. He doesn't want us to end up like we were at Camp Muir wishing we were already done when we're only halfway there. He wants us to be thoroughly equipped. A craftsman does not go to work without his tools. A football player doesn't come to play football without pads and a helmet. A soldier does not enter battle without weapons. It says, so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. It speaks of like a gifted, functioning maturity. Christians should not spend their days being unequipped. So let me ask you, gathered here this morning at PCBC, feel like you're equipped for the things that God's asking you to do? If not, the answer is not found in taking a seminar, in reading another book. The answer is found in the Word of God. Paul is telling Timothy, hey, if you're going to be equipped for the things that God has for you, take time to read and understand the Word of God. Even the Old Testament equips us for a lifestyle of Christ-likeness. But how many of us turn to self-help? How many of us turn to psychology first to figure out something about ourselves and to try and make ourselves better? I'm not against trying to help yourself, all right? And I'm not against trying to help others. But if we don't start with the Word of God, again, we're going to end up in all kinds of weird places. So just like salvation, if we don't start with the Word of God, when it comes to figuring out how we should do this life, what it should look like, we're going to end up in all kinds of wacky places. His Word is the equipment that's needed for us to live rightly. And then the last thing is, His Word changes us. His Word is able to make me into the person that I really want to be. For those of us who know Christ, I believe that every single one of us who knows Christ, hear that part because it's really critical, those of us who know Christ genuinely want to be like Christ. Now, if you don't know Christ, there's no reason to want to be like Him, okay? But so many of us wonder why we're not like Christ, but we're not spending time in the Word of God. It is the Word of God that is able to help us to make this transition from who we are to who we want to be. Or all that God has designed us to be in Christ. Again, the Word of God isn't just to inform us. It is to change us. As we learn and as we obey, it changes who we are. Amy Carmichael, some of you guys may know that name. She worked over in India. She worked with orphans. She as well shared the gospel with all kinds of people over in India. The last 20 years, she was bedridden. She wrote a lot of poetry. She wrote some of the hymns that we have. And she said this about the Bible. So again, remember, she's like a poet, a musician. She's an artist. And we hear a lot today about poetry and art being able to lead people to God. And I'm not saying poetry and art are wrong, okay? But here's what she said about the Bible. The amazing thing is that everyone who reads the Bible has the same joyful thing to say about it. In every land, in every language, it is the same. Take where the book is written, and not with eyes only, but with the mind and heart, the life is changed. Sorrowful people are comforted. Sinful people are transformed. People who are in the dark walk in the light. Is it not wonderful to think that this book, which is a mighty power, if it gets a chance to work in an honest heart, is in our hands today? The Word of God, it doesn't matter what culture, what language, what group of people, it changes people's lives. It causes them to be like one thing, like Christ. A recent 4-year study of thousands of people around the world had this to say, that those who engage the Bible at least 4 days a week are significantly less likely to give in to certain temptations than those who don't. 4 times a week, less likely to give in to pornography. 4 times a week, less likely to give in to cheating. 4 times a week, less likely to give in to adultery. Less likely to get drunk. 4 times a week in the Word of God changes who we are. Significantly less likely. Apparently, reading the Word of God brings about some sort of teaching and correction, some sort of level of transformation that you can't get any other way. However, and I want to make this clear. The Bible is not like an instruction manual. It's not something that we go to when we want to figure out how to change me. Okay? It's never intended to be a manual for every circumstance in life. If you're struggling with how to raise your kids, you're not going to find a lot in the Bible. You'll find some, but you're not going to find every situation about how to handle your kids. If you're struggling about what to do with finances, it's going to say a little bit, but it doesn't mention stocks. It doesn't mention anything about banks. It doesn't mention anything about Social Security. If you're struggling with the results of a divorce, it talks about divorce, but it doesn't speak enough to be able to know how to move on. The Bible is not a how-to book. for every circumstance in life. If you put together what we've already talked about, the Bible is not a how-to book about me. The Bible is how I understand who God is. And as I understand who God is, I put my life in comparison to what His is, and I understand what needs to be changed, and only He can do that. So I don't go to my Bible just to figure out how to make my life easier, how to make my life more comfortable, how to make it work out better. He does say if you follow His instructions, your life will be better. But you can do all of the things in the Bible and miss out on the thing, miss out on God, and guess what? It's going to end up in a horrible mess. He does something better than give us an instruction manual. He gives us a way to know Jesus. And He changes us so that we begin to look more like Him. He leads us and guides us in all of the circumstances of life. He promises us that He will be with us in every situation. I'm not smart enough. Steve's not smart enough. Your Sunday school teacher isn't smart enough. Nobody's smart enough to be able to tell you what to do in every single circumstance in your life. But God's promised this. He will be there with you, and if in dependence upon you, you turn to Him, He will give you what you need in every circumstance in life. You might picture it a little bit like this, all right? I've got some circles that we're going to work our way through here in the screen. And in the center is the character of Christ. That's what He's aiming at in your life and my life. The character of Christ. So His main goal for me is that I look like Christ. That I think the way He thinks, that I act the way that He thinks. But it's going to take, first of all, Him producing a character in my life that doesn't belong to me. It belongs to Christ. And as He begins to do that then, as He trains us to be like Jesus, it affects everything else that we do. So the second circle begins to change the way that we think. As we have the character of Christ formed in us, it changes the way we look at the world. It changes the way we view God. It changes the way that we view ourselves. And as we begin to change the way that we think, it aligns with His thoughts so that then I can act the way that I need to. That third circle, actions. That's what I do, what I say, how I behave, how I speak. And scientists have told us this. Psychologists have told us this. Guess what? God knew this. The things that we do are based on what? The things that we think. We do things because we think that's the right thing to do. And without Jesus, guess what? All of our thinking is all messed up. It's centered on me. It's not centered on God. So He changes my heart and He begins to shape the character of Christ in me. That changes the way that I think, which then influences the way that I act. And then as we bring it to a bigger picture, then for all of us here at PCBC, it changes not only us as individuals, but as a community. That's why it is so important that every single one of us spend time in the Word of God. As we gather together on Sundays, we're not just saying that our priority is the Word of God because we like to talk up front here and we like to have something to preach about. It's because we need you guys as a group to go home and to continue to study the Word of God so that as you come together on Sundays, you have some things that we all need. Did you know God wants you to gather together on Sunday to help somebody else? And you're going to do that by having the character of Christ shaped in you. It's not going to happen with one day a week. That's our priority here at PCBC. We're going to teach the Word of God. We're going to preach the Word of God. We're going to help you to be able in small groups to take the Word of God seriously. But it's got to start with you as an individual. The Bible is transformational. It changes who we are. And it's relevant to all of our needs. Why is that? Because what we really need is Jesus. And it points us to Him. It's able to make us wise unto salvation through Jesus. So as we think through this, the Word of God is so important as a community. The second thing that Paul tells Timothy In chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, I charge you in the presence of God and of Jesus, who is the judge, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. Not only is it shaped by the word of God, but we should stand in awe of the word of God. Why do we do that? Number one, as a community, we have to recognize that it is God who has breathed the word of God. He has placed it there for us to get to know him. And so we stand in awe of this God who, as we just sang about, created this world. He spoke it into motion. He spoke every single one of us into motion, and he gave us his word in order that we might know him. He is the God who stood over this entire world and just breathed it out. Not only this world, but the universe and the infiniteness that we haven't even come to yet. As we look out at our galaxies upon galaxies, our God created all of that, and yet he took the time to give us the instruction that we needed to know him. What keeps us on that track? First of all, God's worth is what motivates us to both preach as well as study the word of God. As God as we see him for who he is, and we value him for who he is, it's going to cause us to want to spend time in the word of God. Again, you can't find that out any way else. You can see general things about God, Romans chapter 1 says, but you will never know God specifically, individually, until you spend time in the word of God. Our God created this whole world, and we kind of get that kind of power, but then do you recognize that Jesus is the representation of God, the exact representation of God here on this earth? So as you see Jesus walk around, what do you see? You see that same sort of creative power as he heals the blind, as he raises the dead, as he brings back those who have lost their sight. He goes around and he demonstrates the power of God because he is God. He was there at creation. And so we look at God's worth as a motivation. The second thing that we understand as well is Jesus' coming is a motivation for us to know the word of God well. He says here, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. Every single one of us will give an account to this creator God, this one that set it all into motion. Every single one of us is going to have to give an account. And he is the one who will be the judge. For those of us who know Christ as our Savior will say, well, I already got my sins paid for. Yes, you do, but guess what? You're still going to have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and you're going to have to give an account of your works. Not that you have to pay for the sin that you've done, but Scripture tells us that there, again, are things that he has planned for you to do. And as you step into it, sometimes we step into it with, this is about me. God says, no, this is not about me. You. This is about me. We step into things for the wrong motives. We miss the opportunities, every single one of us. And the things that we do for ourselves, Scripture says, is just going to get burned up. Again, we don't have to pay for it, but it's going to get burned up, and we're going to miss the opportunity of being rewarded for that. It would be wise, then, to listen to what he says. That's why Paul commands Timothy, preach the word, and to reprove, rebuke, exhort, with complete patience and teaching. He goes on to say here in the next two verses that people are going to be wanting to hear what they want to hear. That's the idea behind the itching ears, all right? Like, you want to hear the things that make you feel good. He says, Timothy, don't give in to that. He says some are even going to turn away from the truth that they hear. They're going to hear the truth and they're going to say, thanks anyways, I want to do my own thing. I don't like what I hear. Paul says, keep preaching the word of God. Guys, too much is at stake for our own opinions. I know, you know, some of us listen to probably far too much TV and too much radio and too many podcasts and stuff, and we hear so much stuff from so many people, and all it is opinions. We need to know what God says. That's why here at PCBC, we teach systematically through the Bible. We don't teach a whole lot of topical things, but whether it's verse by verse or larger chunks of passages, we are responsible to teach the Word of God faithfully and to be able to help you understand what God needs you to know. We call that expository preaching, exposing the Word of God, not the Word of man. And a sermon can be expository, again, if it's, it doesn't matter if it goes verse by verse, sometimes you can go topically as well. But the question at the end of the day is, did we hear from God according to His Word today? Not did you hear what I said, or did you hear what Steve said, or did you hear what the Sunday school teacher said, or whatever it is. Did you hear from the Word of God? That prepares us to meet God not only in eternity, but to meet God right here every single day as we walk this earth. Third reason that this ought to be a priority is that the church is a community that clings to the Word of God, that holds on to the Word of God. He goes on to say in verse 5, "As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." As Paul shares that with Timothy, does he make it sound like it's going to be easy? No, he says, man, this is going to be a lot of hard work. Continue to stick at it. Always endure, do the work, fulfill. Those are the verbs that he uses. And he says, I want you to keep plugging away at it. In our culture today, the Bible is under attack. Did you know that? I'm not just talking about out there. I'm talking about in churches around America, the Bible is under attack. And people say, you know, it's antiquated, it's old-fashioned, it doesn't present politically correct views, it's offensive sometimes even. And so they decide, you know what, rather than teach the Word of God, we're going to stay safe. We're going to share the things that fit, and when it doesn't fit, we'll skip over it. That's why a lot of people quit preaching and teaching the Word of God. And other people try and distort it or twist it to say things that it doesn't say in order that it might be comfortable. This isn't new. This has been happening for ages. Paul's saying here, Timothy, don't give in to that. There's going to be a lot of pressure from the outside. Stick to the Word of God. He exhorted Timothy to persevere in teaching and obeying the Word of God. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8, many of you again know this well. Says, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the Word of our God will stand forever. That's why we base our lives, our families, and our churches, in our church in particular, I'm going to speak for our church in particular, first and foremost, on the Word of God. We preach it, we teach it, we learn it, so that we can obey it. As we do, Scripture promises that as we pour ourselves into the Word of God, we will find eternal life. And I say this pretty regularly. Eternal life isn't just about what happens from the time that we die until forever. Eternal life begins right now. And when we study the Word of God, it helps us to know what we ought to be doing on this earth. It helps us to know how we fit into this big story that God is writing through all of history. It tells us everything that we need to know. Not everything that we want to know, but everything that we need to know. So I want to encourage you this morning as we wrap it up. I can't give to you an amount of time that you ought to be spending in the Word of God. Just like we don't determine here at PCBC how much time we ought to spend in various groups spending in the Word of God. But we do want to make it a priority, and I want to encourage you to think through in your mind, is the Word of God a priority in my life? If it is not a priority in your life, what needs to change? What are some of the priorities that you need to take from number one or number two or number three or whatever it is and shift them down just a little bit so you can put the Word of God back where it belongs? I know it's tough to get up in the morning and you got so many things on your list to do that you just want to get at it and say, you know, the Word of God can wait until later. You get back home from work, and I know I should, but I just got so much to do again. And you get stuck into the day, and the next thing you know, you've gone to bed at night, you wake up in the morning, and you keep doing the same thing, and pretty soon it's a week, a month, and you forget about the Word of God. I can't tell you how much time you need to spend in the Word of God, but here's what I can tell you. You need to make it a priority in your life. And if it's not one of the top priorities in your life, rearrange it just a little bit. Figure it out so that you can make it a priority. Here at Puyallup Community Baptist Church, you're going to keep hearing about the Word of God. Was it 26? I forget what you said last week. 26 messages in 1 Peter? Woo! We're going to keep plugging away at the Word of God because we believe that's the way that we can keep this church on track. There's no other way. We can't read special books. We can't look at the church down the road. We got to look at the Word of God to keep us on track. You as well need to read the Word of God. I like to give some things for you to think about as you go home and talk about it at lunchtime. So here are some questions. You might get your phone out and take a picture of some of these questions. Just some things to think through and talk about at the lunch table today. Some of the stuff we sort of hit on, but some of it you might be able to take a little bit further and talk through as you're with your family, or maybe you're with a discipleship group this week, or whatever it is, some ways that you can take this just a little bit further and think through it just a little bit more so that it becomes a part of us. Don't do it just because I said it, okay? Don't do it just because you feel guilty. Do it because you respect God, you're in awe of Him, and you need to know Him, and that's the only way you can know Him. And if that's the reason, and you pursue the Word of God because you're pursuing Him, guarantee you it will make a difference in your life. It will change the way that you live. So today, I want you to understand at Puyallup Community Baptist Church, we spend a lot of time in the Word of God. If that's not what you like, it probably isn't the church for you. There are a lot of churches that are doing a lot of different things, a lot of cool light shows and all that kind of stuff. We're about the Word of God here, okay? As well, make that what your life is about, okay? Father, thank you so much for your Word. Thanks for giving it to us so that we can know who you are. Thank you for giving it to us so that we can recognize as well all of our tendencies to follow after ourselves and to look out for ourselves and to make ourselves feel comfortable. God, use your Word to change us, to transform us so that we look like Christ. And God, then as we do that, I pray that you would use us to impact the world for your glory. Not for ourselves, not for our church's name, but for you. So God, help us to make this a priority. Help us to be able to say no to maybe some really important things in order that we might be able to get to know you better. And God, I pray as well in the days ahead as we do that, help us to see the difference that it makes. Help us to see the way that you're changing us in order that we might be more effective for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name.